Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Beis. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored Lizchus Rufu Shalema from Mayor Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. It's also sponsored by David and Fegi Mizels in honor of their son Yaakov's Bar Mitzvah, which is today. So mazel tov to Yaakov and to David and Fegi and to the whole Mishpacha. It's also sponsored by Michael Feldman in memory of Dana Pesya Bas Shmuel Yaakov Zev Aleha Shalom Nisham Shav Nalia, and also by Henry Erlinsky Le'ili Nishmas, his mother Rachel Leah Ben Chaim Asher HaKohen Aleha Shalom, a Holocaust survivor who built an unbelievably beautiful family L'Shemel Teferes Bisol, and Nisham Shav Nalia. And we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. We are at the Mishnah, and we are discussing the Malacha of Kosher. So the Mishnah is going to talk about certain knots that you are not going to be chayiv for the malacha of kosher on, and then the Gemara is going to discuss a three-way stira about knots that are built into shoes and sandals, and whether you're chayiv for them, or patar avalasur, or mutter legamri. So we're going to resolve the three-way stira about sandals and three-way stira about shoes. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when something loses the status of a shoe as far as the halacha of Tumah, meaning that it's no longer a kli, as far as the halachos of Shabbos, when does it become muktzah, that it's no longer a usable shoe, and as far as the halachos of Chalitza, when is it no longer a shoe, that it can no longer even be used for Chalitza. On Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to try to assess whether Rabbi Yochanan paskins like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that when an outer strap snaps, that it's no longer a shoe, that alone would take away the status of a shoe. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the Tumah status of broken kelim that are then repaired and then break again and are repaired, and between all of the breaks it would have lost its shame kli, but any single break does not make it lose its shame kli. So we'll discuss that Bez Hashem as well. So we are holding out the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, the second Mishnah of the Perek on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis. Says the Mishnah, Yesh Chaksharim Shein Chayavin Alein Ki Kesha Hagamal Kesha Sapanim. There are certain Kesharim that one is not Chayiv on them the way you would be Chayiv on the Kesher of the Gamalin and the Kesher of the Sapanim that we spoke about yesterday. We spoke about the Kesher of the Gamalin and the Sapanim, where you tie the thing into the Gamal's nose, you tie the thing into the ship, and those stay there permanently, and those are therefore a Kesher Shel Kayama, but you're not allowed to make these knots, and the Gemara will describe what these knots are. So Kesher Isha Mafteh Chaluka, a woman can tie the knot on her shirt, Chute Savacha, and the knot on her head covering, Vishal Piskaya, and or on her girdle, sandal, or the straps on her shoes or a sandal, straps of shoes or sandals. We're also allowed to tie knots on the jugs of wine or oil. And the knot that holds closed a kedera shel basar, a pot of meat. That you're also allowed to tie a rope in front of the doorway of a behema so that the behema will not be able to escape. So right away, Frekta Gemara, Haguf Akasha, this mission is a stira minei bay. Amrit, we introduce the Mishnah by saying Yesh Ksharim Shein Chayav Nalein Ki Kesha Gmol and Kesha Sapanim, that there is some Ksharim that we're about to list that you are not Chayav on them like you are in the Kesha Gmol and the Kesha Sapanim, which implies Chiyuvu Delaka Isura Ika, that all of the knots we're about to list in the Mishnah you're not Chayav for, but they're still going to be Asur Asur Midrabanan V'hadotani Kosheres Isha Mevtei Chaluka Afil L'chadchila. And then it says she's allowed to tie these knots that we're listing in the Mishnah. Sounds like it's even a din lechatchila that she's allowed to do it. Says Marna, ha'chi ka'amar, yesh ksharim she'im chayavin alein ki kesha gemal and kesha sapanim. There are certain ksharim that you're not going to be chayav chatos like you would be on the kesha gemal and kesha sapanim that we learned about yesterday in the first Mishnah, but it's still usher to do them lechatchila. U'mayniyu, and what are those ksharim? Kitra dekatri bizmama v'kitra dekatri biistrida. The kesha that you tie the long strap into a ring that's already attached to the behema, or the kesha that you tie onto the ring that's already attached to the boat, that's rechiyuv hudalaka isura ika. But v'yeshem tar lechatchila mayniu kosher miftechei chaluka. That there are three categories. There's the kesha that you tie onto the animal's nose itself, that stays permanently, or onto the boat itself, that stays permanently. That's chayiv. Then there's the kesher that you would tie into that hook that you made in the animal's nose, or into that hook that you made on the boat. clothed. That's potter of a loser, because that's not a full kesher shel kayama. And then the rest of the nuts that we mentioned in the Mishnah, on the woman's shirt, on the woman's hat, on the jugs of wine and oil, all of those are even mutter lichadchila. So mafteh chaluka, one of the ksharim that we said is mutter lichadchila, is the mafteh chaluka, is the mafteh on a woman's, the opening on a woman, miftach chaluka, mafteh means a key, miftach chaluka, the opening of a woman's shirt. So says Mar Pshita, of course she's allowed to tie such a kesher. She unties it every day to get dressed and undressed. So says Mar Lo Tzricha Dislei Trei Dashi. We're talking about a shirt that has two openings to it, and when it's and it's open on the inside, in order to close it, she has two straps. One is higher, the other one is lower, and each one has something on the right and the left side to connect them to each other. So even if she just undoes one of them, it becomes loose enough that she's able to pull off the garment, even leaving the other one tied. So mal d'teima chadiminay betulim aftal. I might say she'll leave one constantly tied and be mevatel that kesher, because she's able to remove the garment with that one constantly tied, and she'll just retie the other one, the one that that she needs to tie. Like sometimes a person has a shirt that has a lot of buttons, but they only need to take off a few buttons, then they can pull it over their head. They could, but will they? They're not going to unbutton their shirt entirely. So says Mar Kamash Malan. That's the Kamash Malan, that, you know, she will ultimately probably untie both of them. So even though it's possible for her to leave one of them tied and be mevatel that knot and just leave it that way, but she's more likely, that's how the Rishonim explain. The Ritva explains, we don't know which one she's going to untie, or very often she'll untie both of them, and therefore it's considered to be not a kesher shel kayama, and that's why it's going to be mutter. V'chutei svacha, and also the strings that she ties onto her head covering. So Pshita says, Mar, that also obviously she takes it off every day. So it could be that it's a loosely fitting, and therefore she's able to pull it on and off without untying it. I might think that when she wants to take off her hat, she'll just slip it off of her head in that way without untying it, and therefore it's a kesher shel kayama. So that's why it tells us that no, because sometimes it will pull her hair out if she does that, and a woman is very makbid that she not pull her hair out, that her hair remains intact, and therefore she's more likely to untie it than to leave it tied, and therefore it's not a kesher shel kayama at all, and it's going to be perfectly permissible. So before we get into Ritzuos Minol the sandal, so we have this rule that you're not chayev chatos unless it's a kesher hagamalim, kesher sapanim, which is a kesher shel kayama. But any kesher, it's ainu kesher shel kayama, you're not chayev chatos for tying it, nor chayev chatos for untying it for the melach of matir. Why is it that you need a kesher shel kayama? So the Avnei Nezer writes in a tshuva in Or HaChaim Sim Kuf Pei Gimel that it's not because all melachos of Shabbos have to have a kiyum in order for it to be called a melacha. This isn't a general rule about melachos, that melachos have to be something that is lasting, and kesher shel kayama is just how we apply the general rule of lasting to the melacha of kosher. No, it's a special din about the melacha of kosher, that something is not considered a knot unless it's a kesher shel kayama. It is not about the lasting, a broader din about the lasting effect of all melachos that we just happen to be applying to the melacha of kosher. This is something that is unique to the melacha of kosher. And in fact, the Rav Shlomo Eger and the Gilyan Marsha on the side of the Shulchan Aruch and Yardei Asim and Shin makes the same comment, that anything that's not considered a kesher legabe Shabbos is also not considered a kesher legabe Klayim. That's why it's in Yerodeya, that a kesher shein l'shel kayama doesn't have a shame kesher. It's simply not called a knot at all. Says the Avnei Nezer, I'll bring you a raya from a Taisus and Maseches Menachos, and the sugi is about tefillin. Taisus Menachos quotes a machlokas between Rabbeinu Eliyahu and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Eliyahu holds that you're chayiv to tie your knot of your tefillin every day. You have to retie the knot of the tefillin every day. Rabbeinu Tam says, nah, you don't have to retie it every day, a brand new knot. And the raya that you don't have to do it is because the kesher shel tefillin is considered by the Gemara in Erevin to be a kesher shel kayama. And you're not allowed to tie a kesher shel kayama on Shabbos. So if you were to be matirit and kosherit b'chol yom, then why is it a kesher shel kayama? Our whole sugi was just saying, why is the woman's shirt not a kesher shel kayama? Why is her hat not a kesher shel kayama? Not because it can't last, it's because she unties it every day. So the kesher of your tefillin, if you really have to untie the kesher of your tefillin every day, it should not be considered a kesher shel kayama. So the sheet of Rabbeinu Eliyahu is that it's not considered a kesher shel kayama, and he's docha the raya of Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, says that even the Kesher Shel Tefillin, that even though the Kesher Shel Tefillin is not a Kesher Shel Kayama, the Torah considers it a Kesher because it says Ukshartem. So that's why you're not allowed to be kosher on Shabbos. Now, if the problem with the Kesher She'ino Shel Kayama is that it's not Chashuv, so we can say that the fact that the Torah calls it a Kesher is Machshavit, even though it's Eino Shel Kayama. And therefore, it's also to be kosher on Shabbos as well. But if the reason you're not Chayav on Shabbos is because it's not Meskayim, it's not lasting, who cares that the Torah says the word Ukshartem and then calls it a Kesher? Either way, it's not Meskayim. I know it's a Kesher, but it's not a Kesher on Meskayim. So says the Avnei Nezer, you see that it's not about it being Meskayim. It's about the definition of Kesher, that is something that's not lasting. It's not about how long-lasting the Malacha is. It's about, is this objectively called a Kesher? Oh, so then the Torah can say Ukshartem and tell me even that which I might not normally consider a Kesher in... In this context, like by tefillin, it's going to be called a kesher. Okay, so now we move on to the discussion of shoes. Ritzus min of the sandals. So we said in the Mishnah, a woman is allowed to tie the straps of her shoes and their sandals. So itmer hit ritzus min of the sandal. When it comes to untying, and we assume the rules of untying are the same as tying, whatever is a kesher shel kayama, that's going to be a melacha daraisa to tie, is going to be a melacha daraisa to untie. They're twin melachos. So we have a braisa that tells us that when it comes to untying rituals, minel this sandal, tani chad one bris says chayev chatos, v'tani idach patra v'lasu, v'tani idach mutal chachila. So kasha minel kasha sandal a sandal. We have a three-way stira, both by shoes and by sandals. Is it chayev? Is it patra v'lasu? Or is it mutal chachila? Says Gemara, we can answer both three-way stiras. Minel o kasha. When it comes to a shoe, it's not a kasha. Haduk tani chayev chatos bedu ushkafi. The knot on a shoe for which you're chayev chatos for tying or untying is the knot that the shoemaker makes that's meant to stay there permanently. It's the knot that's tied into the sole of the shoe that you would then loop the strap through in order to tighten your shoe. But that knot is meant to stay there permanently. Patra v'laser b'drabanan. That's talking about a knot of on the shoes of Talmid Chachamim where they don't tie their shoes. They don't tie their shoes onto their feet very well. They don't tie it on tight. They tie it in a loose way. So since when they tie their shoes closed, they only do it in a loose way, and then they'll just slip off their shoes and slip on their shoes. But if they're going to walk through the mud, or they're going to walk through somewhere that's going to be challenging to keep loose-fitting shoes on, that's when they'll tie it really tight. They'll undo it, and they'll tie it really tight. So that kesher is made for some period of time, but not forever. So that's why it's going to be pater avalaser, because it's made for more than just, it's not something that would untie and retie every day, but it's also not something that would stay forever. And the chadchila, mutal chadchila, the kesher that's mutal chadchila on a shoe bid b'nei machuza is the knots that b'nei machuza would tie in their shoe because they were very makbid that everything should look just so, and therefore they would tie their shoes very tight so it should look exactly right. So since they would do that, they would have to untie them every single day because they can't remove their shoe unless they untie them. Ah, so if it was a knot that they would tie and untie every day, that's going to be mutal chadchila. Sandal a sandal o kasha, and the stira by a sandal also is not a kasha, the three-way stira. The brisa that says that your chayev chatos is the sandal of Yishmaeli merchants, where they would tie the straps in a kesher kavua that stays forever. Patra v'lasor b'duchumarta dekatri inhu is by a regular kesher that the people themselves would tie on the sandal, and then they would untie them and retie them. But sometimes they'd leave it like that for a week or for a month, so it's also l'chadchila to do it. But it's not going to be a chayev chatos because it's not miskayim liolam. It's not meant to be there forever. And mutal lechadchila besandal nafki bebetrei. And mutal lechadchila is a shoe that is shared by two people. So that's going to be mutal lechadchila to tie because every time the other person wears it, he's going to adjust the size to fit him. So he's going to tie it and untie it based on his own size, and therefore it's tied and untied every day. That's mutal lechadchila. So Gemara brings a maisa that talks about: do we ever have such a thing, a shoe that's shared by two people? Yeah, kedra biyuda. The maisa happened with Rabbi Yuda. Achud Rav Salah Chasida, Havle Ilus Zuga de Sandali. He had a pair of shoes, Zimnin de Nafik Bei Ihu, Zimnin Nafik Bei Inuke. Sometimes he would wear it, sometimes his children would wear it. Asl Kameda Abaye, so he came to Abaye on Shabbos, Amarlei, Ki Hai Gavna Mai. When you see a shoe like this that I untie all the time and my son wears it, so what's the halacha? Is it mutter to do this, to tie it and untie it on Shabbos? Amarlei, Chayiv Chatos, Yisudor Reisa. So Amarlei, so Rav Yehuda said to Abaye, Hashapatra Vlas, pasuk kakashli chayiv chatzis karmidli. I that wasn't even one of my options. I ask you, is it A or B? Is it mutal lechatchil or is it only an issur drabban or is it an issur drabban? And you tell me it's an issur daraisa. So my time. Why would you think that it's not chayiv chatzis? So Amalei Ravida says, I'll tell you why. Mishum de b'chol nami zim nafiknu bayana zim nafiknu bayinuka. Because even on a weekday, I don't wear these shoes myself. I share them with my son. So Amalei. So then Abai says, well, you shouldn't mention that. If that's the case, then it's mutar l'chadchila. If this is a shoe that you tie and untie every day, then of course it's going to be mutar l'chadchila. The Ritva points out that the kesha and the sandal was a kesha shal sandler that was always kavua. So that's why originally he said chayiv chatas because it was the kesha that the sandler makes. So of course you chayiv chatas. Then Abaye says, yeah, but in our personal case, we untie it every day, even though the sandler made it. Bir Alacha writes in Simon Shin Yud Zayin that since the entire that any shoe that's made for multiple people, they would tie it and untie it every day, so it's considered a derech, it's a kesher, that's the derech to be matir every day, even though it's really strong and it's the kind of kesher that could stay liolam. But the point is, it doesn't, because you untie it every single day. This comes up in a different context as well. This idea that two people share shoes with each other comes up in two other contexts. One context it comes up with is Poskim discuss, what if you share tefillin with somebody? So does that take away its shame kesher when each time each one undoes it to fit it to size, to fit it to his own head? So Pashas is not, because the Pasuk says ukshartem, that even if you hold like the shita that you're supposed to untie your tefillin every day, the Torah dafka goes out of its way to say that kesher shel tefillin has a din of a kesher. The other situation that comes up is the Poskim discuss being matir aguno. Sometimes throughout history there have been situations, and Rahman al-Tzlan, sometimes it happens where a soldier goes out to war and he doesn't come back, and then they find bodies that are unidentifiable. So nowadays we have dental records and things like that. Every chayal in the Israeli army submits dental records in advance so that lo aleinu, if something ever were to happen, they'd be able to identify the remains. But what happens if you can't identify the body, but they see the shoes on the person? Can you identify a soldier by his or a person who went missing to be matir naguna based on the shoes themselves? So in the Tshuvas Beis Ephraim in Simon Yud Tes, he brings a raya that you should not be allowed to do that, because our Gemara specifically says about Kshira and Shabbos by a sandal shel shnayim, and it tells the story of Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rav Salah Chasida, that had this pair of shoes that he himself would sometimes wear and sometimes his child would wear, and they asked the shaila to Abaye, and so you see that people do lend out their shoes sometimes. So because of that, you have to assume that there's a possibility that the soldier lent his shoes to somebody else, and therefore maybe it's not a good enough raya. Not all poskim agree with that. Some of the poskim think it is a good enough raya because that's not at all the style. People don't, it probably depends on the situation, probably depends on what kinds of shoes, like galoshes or something like that. People lend out if someone's at your house and then all of a sudden there was a snowstorm or something, so you don't want them to ruin your shoes. You'll give them the galoshes in your closet or something like that. But nice dress shoes, probably people do not lend out so much. So that's a question in halacha that the poskim deal with. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Yirmi Avakasel Basri Rabbi Avo Bekarmelis. Rabbi Yirmi was trailing behind Rabbi Avo in a Karmelis on Shabbos. So Ifsik Ritzua de Sandale, and the strap of his sandal became undone. So I'm late. Rabbi Yirmi said to Rabbi Avo, my Navidla, what should I do with this shoe with the torn strap? I can't. It's unwearable right now, and I'm not allowed to carry it in a Karmelis because you're not allowed to carry Dalet Amos in a Karmelis. So I'm late. Shkol Gemilach, take a moist reed, which theoretically could be used to feed an animal, so therefore, since it's animal food, it's not muktza, the reed itself is not muktza, and use it to wrap around the shoe, and that way the shoe will stay on your foot, and you'll be able to continue to walk wearing that shoe. If there was another maisa where Abaye was in front of Rav Yosef in a chatzer, and his strap came undone, so he said, what should I do with this shoe? Leave it right there where it fell off your foot. Don't take it. Do not pick it up with your hand in order to put it away anywhere, because the sandal itself is muktza, because it's totally unusable right now. Once the strap came off, there's no use for it, and even if you were to fix it, it would not be nice, and you don't use a sandal like that. So Maishna mit Rabbi Yirmiya, so says Mar, but wait, why is that any different than the Maishna with Rabbi Yirmiya, that Rabbi Avahu allowed Rabbi Yirmiya to put on that shoe, Ali Yedei Gemi, to put on a reed on that shoe, and now we're saying that it's aser. So Says Gemara, no. Hasam lo mintar, hacha mintar. In the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, the maisa was in a karmelis, in a place that was a more public area, so the sandal wouldn't be protected. If you would leave it there, it would be gone. Someone would take it, and that's why Rabbi Yavahu allowed him to be machnas, to bring it inside al yidei gemi, even though it's mukta, even though the sandal is mukta. But over here, it's protected, it's in a safe area, and therefore it's asr to be metaltal, that the sandal is going to be considered mukta. The Rishonim quote that the Ravid raises the question, wait a second, you're allowed to do tiltal mukta because it's in because the mukta happens to be in an area that's unprotected, that's in a mishtamer. It's also to be metaltal mukta. If you live in Malcolm Hefsid normally, why are you all of a sudden allowed to be metaltal mukta? Also, why use such a sandal mukta? You can use it for something else, like to cover a kli with, or lismuk bukiri amita. Shivrei kelim that could be used for anything else are not mukta. We're going to see that sugya later on in a couple of weeks. So the Ravid says that this sandal is not kishivrei kelim, that since it should be repaired, you definitely don't intend to be mevatalit from its use as a shoe and to now designate it for some other use. And therefore, it's no longer a sandal because you can't use it as a shoe anymore, and it's not going to be labeled as something else that you can use as something else because you would never designate it for something else. You plan on repairing it, and that's what makes it muktzah. But when it tears in the karmelis and it's not going to be protected there, so then your das is not to be mevatalit completely from being a sandal until you fix it. Your das is to be to use it al yidei adchak. Oh, so as long as you plan on using it al yidei adchak, so then it's still a shoe, and memela it's not going to be mukta. That's how the Ravid understands. There is an interesting discussion in contemporary poskim. It starts with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes that since it's mukta to be metaltal mukta begufo, even l'tzorach davar mukta, you're not allowed to be metaltal mukta by hands. You're not allowed to pick up an item that's mukta and be metaltal that way. But you move it with your elbow, you move it with your body, you rub against it to push the mukta or something like that. That you're allowed to do even l'tzorach davar mukta. That's beferish and shulchan aruch and siman shin yud aleph. And the reason is that it's not called tiltal at all. So if some mukta item is lying there on the ground, says the Mishburah, you can kick it. You can just move it, but with your feet to kick the mukta item. And that's what he writes in Bir Alacha, that you could be metaltal a wallet that's on the ground with your foot if you're afraid shemi yikad menu acher, that someone else is going to find it. So you can kick it behind a bush or something so that it will be hidden for you to find it after Shabbos. Chazanish says, no, there's no difference between being metaltal biyado or baraglo. It's tiltal gomer, and that is going to be an isra as well. Moving it with your feet is also called tiltal mutza. It doesn't sound that way from the achronim, he says, but it's muchach that way from all the rishonim, and he brings many rayas, and one of the rayas Chazanish brings in Sim Mem Zayin is from our sugya, because here you have the story with Abaye that was in front of Rav Yosef in the chatzar. His strap became undone, so he said, what am I supposed to do? Can't do anything, it's mukta. Why is this any different than Rabbi Yirmiyah, where Rabbi Avo allowed him with the gemi lach? So you see that the sandal's not muksa. So you see that the sandal's not muksa apparently in that case. So says Chazanish, how do you see from there the sandal's not muksa? What did Rabbi Avo allow him to do? He allowed him to wear it on his foot and to carry it on his foot. Maybe it is muksa, but it's not a violation of tiltal muksa to move it with your feet. So Elamai, you see that it is a violation of tiltal muksa to move it with your feet. And that's why the Gemara thinks it's a good raya that it's not mukta if Rabbi Avo allowed Rabbi Yirmiyah to move it with his feet. That's one of the Chazanish's rayas. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Milcha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Simin Yud Daled says he does not think that that's a great raya, because it could be that a shoe is going to be a shoe that's mukta is going to be usher to be metaltal baraglo, because that's how a shoe is normally moved. Meaning, why is it that you're allowed to kick mukta and you're not allowed to move mukta with your hands? Because the normal way to move it is with your hands. It's not normal to move it with your feet. But if it was something that was once a shoe, then the normal way to move it is with your feet. So that's going to be it's only in that case that it's also to be metaltal muksa with your feet. Or maybe the case in the Gemara was he needed, in order to wrap the gemi around it, in order to put the strap around it, he needed to pick up the shoe with his hand and put it back on his feet and then wrap it around. So it wasn't just tiltal al yidei regel in the case in the Gemara. It was tiltal biyad. He was moving it with his hand, not just with his feet. Okay, says the Gemara, Abaye asked Rav Yosef, why is the sandal muksa vaham manuhu? But it's still a kli, meaning it's still roi to use di ibiina afichnale. mitmiyim in the small, because if you want, you could just flip it over from your right foot to your left foot. Samalei, so Rav Yosef answered Abaye that there's a machlokas Rabbi Yudan the Chamim whether such a sandal is muktzah or not. The commentaries Rabbi Yochanan, libid Rabbi Yehuda, shramin alach Rabbi Yehuda, and we know that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda in that machlokas, that if you have an outer tabaas of a sandal that becomes undone, that becomes snapped, that it's not a kli, and therefore it's also to be metaltel on Shabbos, and that's how we paskin. So says Mara, what? Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Where did you ever find that Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, that if the outer ring of a shoe becomes of a sandal becomes undone, that it loses its shame kli? Maihi, what's this machlokas Chum and Rabbi Yehuda that you're referring to, where Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda? The tiny, it's the following: sandal shnifsku shtei aznav. If you have a sandal that the two aznaim of the sandal, the aznaim are the lips that you hold onto it to pull it onto the feet, to yank it onto the feet. So if those become undone, those become snapped. Or shtei tarsi yosav, or the two loops where you put in the straps. Or shenitel kolakaf shlo, or the entire heel of the shoe is missing. Tohar, it's no longer a kli. And now if it was tummy before, it loses its status of tuma. Achas mi'aznav, achas mi'tarsi yosav, or shenitel rovakaf shlo tummy. But if it only loses one of the tongues that you pull it onto your foot with, or one of the loops that you put the straps in, or it only loses some of the sole of the shoe, so then it's going to be tame. It's still going to be a kli, it's still going to be a valid sandal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nifska pnim is tame chitzona tahar. It depends which one. If the taba'as, the inner taba'as, is snapped, then even though it's only, then it's still going to be tame, it's still going to be a kli. But if the outer one snaps, then it's going to be tar, it's no longer going to be considered a sandal, because you can't, it becomes unusable unless you were to move it to the other foot, and you would never do that. So it loses its status of a kli if the tabas achitzona is snapped. So Vamar Ula comments about this price of Itaim Rabbi Rabbechana, Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, machlokas leading tuma, kach machlokas leading Shabbos, that the same machlokas come in Rabbi Yehuda that you have about tuma, you have that same machlokas about Shabbos, avalol in your chalitza, but you don't have a similar machlokas whether it counts as a shoe when it comes to chalitza. So Vavinabar, Rabbi Yochanan libedeman, who is Rabbi Yochanan saying his comment within? Is he talking within the Shita of the Chachamim, or is he talking within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? If you're saying that he's talking within the Shita of the Chachamim, and he's saying as follows, midilinyan tuma manahavi, from the fact that the Chachamim hold that it's still considered a kli as far as tuma is concerned, linyan Shabbos nami manahavi, so it should also be considered a kli as far as Shabbos is concerned, avalol chalitza, but it's not a kli as far as chalitza is concerned, delav manahu, that's because this, it's not usable as a chalitza shoe. Vatanan, but is that really true? Doesn't the Mishnah tell us in Maseches Yevamos that the chalitza has to be on the right foot? So chotza shall smal be yamin chalitza sekshera. But if you do it, if you take a left shoe and you put it on the right foot, the chalitza is still going to be kosher. So why is the sandal a left sandal that the outer taba'a snaps not kosher lechalitza? You can just use it up, put it on the right foot, and then the chalitza is going to be kosher. So just like by tumah and the Shabbos, it's a kli for that reason, because you could flip it to the other foot. The halacha should be the same when it comes to tumah as well, that the ability to flip it to the other foot should make it a shoe, and therefore should make it worthy of chalitza. Ve'ela libid Rabbi Yehuda, so it must be that when Rabbi Yochanan made his comment, he was talking within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the ability to move it to the other foot does not give it the status of a kli. If you can't use it on the foot that it was meant for, then it's not a kli anymore. That's Rabbi Yehuda. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan is commenting. Midilinian tuma lav manu, from the fact that as far as tuma is concerned, the outer taba'as becoming, or the outer ozen becoming snapped, it makes it lose the shame kli. Linian Shabbos nami lav manu, as far as Shabbos, it also makes it lose the shame kli. Avalol chalitza, but by chalitza, Rabbi Yehuda would be moda demanahu, that it's still considered a kli. And if the outer part of the sandal, of the left shoe becomes undone, you can still use it for chalitza by putting it on the right foot. So because we said that a left shoe can be used on the right foot, but that's difficult also, because emer damin chalitza shel smal b'yamin chalitza shkshera hech de lemil say manahu. Wait a second, when do we say if you use a left shoe on the right foot, it works as a good chalitza? That's if it's still a viable shoe on the left foot. It's still a viable shoe for what it was meant for. So then you say, okay, it's a shoe. Now that it's a shoe, because you could use it for what it was meant to be used for, even if you put it on the right foot. So now you could use it for chalitza when you put it on the right foot. But over here we're talking about a sandal that because it snapped, it's no longer usable on the foot that it was meant for. The only way to use it is by flipping it over to the other foot. So then maybe that the fact that it's no longer usable for the foot that it was meant for means it loses its shame kli. Tam Rav Yehuda nifska chitzon atar, because Rav Yehuda says that nifska chitzon atar, once the outer strap becomes snapped, it's tar, even though you're able to use it on the other foot. Alma lav manu, so you see that he holds that it's not a kli. So how do you know that by such a shoe, that if you do chalitza with such a shoe, with a left shoe that's no longer usable for the left foot, and you put it on the right foot and do chalitza, how do you know that such a thing is kasher? So says Mar Liolam, Alibet Rabbi Yehuda. No, Rabbi Yochanan is making his comment within Rabbi Yehuda. And you just have to alter Rabbi Yochanan's comment a little bit. Ema v'chein l'chalitza. And what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the halach is the same by chalitza, meaning just like it's not a shoe anymore, the Inyan Tuma, and just like it's not a shoe anymore, the Inyan Shabbos, it's also not a shoe, the Inyan Chalitza. So if it's no longer usable on the left foot, which is the foot that it was meant for, you cannot do Chalitza with it, even though it's usable now on the right foot. When do we say that using a left shoe on the right foot is a viable way to do Chalitza? That's if it's at least usable for its initial intention, it's still usable on the left foot. But in our case, where it snapped, where the outer strap snapped, it's no longer usable on the left foot. And if it's no longer usable on the left foot, it's not a shoe. If it's not a shoe, you cannot do chalitza with it, even when you use it on the right foot. All of that is just to show that Rabbi Yochanan made a comment within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. From the fact that he makes a comment within Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, it must be that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. That if you have a sandal, shenifska ozno hachitzonis, whose outer ozen is snapped, it's not a kli, and therefore it's muktza. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that way. Fret the Gemara, umiyam Rabbi Yochanan hachi? Does Rabbi Yochanan really hold that Allah zak Rabbi Yehuda and not the chachamim, that it loses its shame kli when the outer ozen snaps? Vam Rabbi Yochanan alach stam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that whenever we have a stam mishnah, we always pass on like the stam mishnah utnan. And the mishnah tells us in the 26th parak of Maseches Kelim, sandal shenifska achas me ozna v'tikna. If one of the oznayim of a sandal snaps, and you were then misakin it, you then fixed it, and the sandal belonged to a zav, so it was tamei tumas medrus, it was an avatuma beforehand, so tamei medrus, it remains tamei medrus, even though the ozen has snapped off the sandal. Why? Because it didn't lose its shame kli. So it remains tamei because it kept its shame kli the entire time. We'll skip the parentheses. My love, loshna panimis loshna chitzona. Doesn't that sound like it doesn't matter whether it was the inner strap or outer strap that snapped off? It still has the shame kli. Rabbi Yehuda held that if the outer strap snaps, it loses the shame kli. So you see, here's a stam mishnah that assumes it retains the shame kli even when the outer strap snaps. So stam mishnah says against Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say, how could we say that Rabbi Yochanan passes like Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yochanan always passes like a stam mishnah, and we have a stam mishnah against Rabbi Yehuda. So says Gemara, no, you're misunderstanding the stam mishnah. When we say that one of these straps snaps, it means pnim estafka. It means specifically the inner one. Then you could be misakin it in a way that it wouldn't be so recognizable and so obvious. But if the outer strap were to snap, then ain't a chinami. The shoe would lose its status of a shoe because there's no way to fix it unless you move it to the other foot. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, that is not good enough. That would mean that it loses its shame kli. The Gemara says, nah, we don't like that. The Gemara doesn't accept such a teretz, because if you have to say that the Mishnah is talking about dafka where the pnimis snaps, but had the chitzona snapped, it would lose the shame kli and it would be tar. Aval chitzona mai tar. You're suggesting that if the chitzona would have snapped, it would be tar. Ihachi. Well, then the hemsheikh of the Mishnah should have said a little differently. Adetani. When the Mishnah goes on to say nifsika shniya v'tikna tar min a medrus of a tami maga medrus, that if the second strap were to also snap, it would be tar from tumas medrus and will only be tame, like a rishon l'tuma, like something that touched a medrus, why would you have to say that both of them snapped in order for it to be tar from medrus? Niflug b'dida, you can even have a case where one of them snapped and it's tar from tumas medrus. Just make it the other one. Instead of the inner one snapping, the outer one snapped, and that would be enough to make a tame tumas, to make a tar from tumas medrus. It should have said that when do we say that it retains its status of a kli? That's if nifsuka the ozen apnimis. But if the ozen achitzona would have snapped, then it would be tar. So it must be that the Mishnah holds that even that if either one alone is snaps, whether it be the ozen apnimis or the ozen achitzona, it would still be a kli. It would still be a viable kli against Rabbi Yehuda. And that's why the Seif has to say, you know when it loses its shame kli? When they both snap, the ozen apnimis and the ozen hachitzona. And therefore, we're back to our kasha. How can you say Rabbi Yochanan passes like Rabbi Yehuda? Here you have a stam Mishnah that's clearly against Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yochanan always passes like a stam Mishnah. Some Rabbi Yisrael Yosef, Tei Mishnah Seinu B'sandal Sheish Lo Arba Oznayim. The Mishnah must be talking about an unusual shoe, a shoe that has two sets of Oznayim, four Oznayim, two on the outer end and two on the inner side. Va'arba Tarsiosim, and two sets, four rings that they put the straps, that they put the straps through. That's the only way that we could make Rabbi Yochanan fit. How does that make Rabbi Yochanan fit? The Mishnah is talking about only the outer aznayim. And when it says in the Reisha that if one of them snaps, it's tamei, it's still a kli, that's because you still have the other one, so it's still perfectly usable on the foot that it's supposed to be used on. And if both of them snap, if two snap, the Mishnah says, then it's going to be tahar, it's not a kli. Yeah, that's exactly the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that if the outer one snaps, even though the inner ones are still intact, two doesn't mean the outer one and the inner one. When it says if both snap, it means both outer ones, but the inner one is still intact, so it's still usable on the other foot, and still Rabbi Yehuda says it loses its shame kli. So you see, the Mishnah conforms with Rabbi Yehuda, and that's Rabbi Yochanan Paskins, like a Stam Mishnah, which actually conforms with Rabbi Yehuda. Ki asu Rav, nam Rav Chan Baraba, am Rav, halach Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan amar, ein halach Rabbi Yehuda. But Rav had a different tradition from Eretz Yisrael, that Rav says the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda, but the Rabbi Yochanan in fact says the halach is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Umiyam Rabbi Yochanan hachiv, am tarz Rabbi Yochanan libid Rabbi Yehuda, shram yak Rabbi Yehuda svirlei. But we just said that Rabbi Yochanan, and we just spent the whole last amud saying how Rabbi Yochanan Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So amarayim din val libid Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, it's a machlokas amarayim, what Rabbi Yochanan held, whether Rabbi Yochanan held like Rabbi Yehuda or not. Period. Tanan hasam, we have a Mishnah Maseches Kelim. Kol klei balibatim shum karim monim. Kelim that are used by balibatim, the hole in the, if there's a hole in the kli, it would only lose its shame kli if the hole is large enough that a rimon would fall through that hole. The hole is the size of, is a pomegranate size hole. But if the holes in the kli are only the size of a kazayas, then it's still a kli because you could then store rimonim in the kli. So bay chiskia nikev motzizayus ustamo v'chazer v'nikev kimotzizayus ustamo acheshlimu motzirimon mahu. What if you had a kli that was tamei and had a hole the size of a zayas, and then you patched it up, and then another hole the size of a zayas, and you patched it up, and that kept on happening until the, all of the holes together would have been kimotzi rimon. So do we say that the kli still retains its old tuma status? Now, it definitely is a kli right now, because right now it's usable, it's a functional kli, it doesn't have any holes in it, but for its tuma that it had from before, is that still there, or do we say no, it had a big enough hole, you know, when you add it all together, that it now loses its status of, it loses that tuma that it had. So I'm the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shani Salanu, you already taught us, based on the Mishnah and Kalim that we just quoted. Sandal Shimska Achas Me'elzen V'tikna. If one of the Aznaim of the sandals snaps and then you fix it, Tamei Medrus, it's still Tamei Medrus. Nifska Shniya V'tikna, the other one snaps and you fix that, Tarmina Medrus, Savil Tamei Maga Medrus, and now loses its Tumas Medrus status. V'arminilach Meishna Rishona, Da'kai Meshniya Shniya Nami, Hamisakna Rishona. Why should that be? When the first one snapped, it still had its shame, it still had its old Tumah, because the other one was still there. But by the time the other one snapped, the first one was back. So it should still have its shame tumah. V'amrit lan alei, and we explained, panam chadosh ba'olkan. You're right, it's still a kli right now, but it's not the same kli that it was, because it's been repaired multiple times. So with all the repairs, it's considered panam chadoshos. So achanami panam chadosh ba'olkan. So over here also, we say it's like a brand new entity that has arrived. It's a brand new kli. So kari alei, he said, wow, he said about Rabbi Yochanan, les dein barinish. He's not human, he's like a malach. Ikadamri kigon dein barinish. Or some say, that's a man, meaning what he said is that's a real man. That's a person who's worthy of being called a man. Amr Rav Zeira, Amr Rav bar zimuna im rishona b'nei malachim anu b'nei anashim. If the earlier generations were like angels, we're like humans. Im rishona b'nei anashim, if the earlier generations were like humans, anu kechamorim, then we're like donkeys. Lo kechamor shel Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, and not even like the donkey of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, v'shal Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, or the donkey of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, el kishar chamorim. We're like regular donkeys. The Sfasemis points out that this connects to the previous statement, because we just said less din bar inish or kigon din bar inish, so that's totally in these two ways of saying it. Is the previous generation kimalachim or are they kanashim? Right? So if you say kimalachim, so you say less din bar inish. He's like a malach, he's like a person from the previous generation. But if you say the previous generation are anashim and we're chamorim, so then you say, no, he's a man, he's a person. The story of the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair is recorded in the first parak of Masech Schulin on Dav Zayin Amar Aleph, that he gave sa'orim to the donkey to eat and he wouldn't eat it. So he tried to make it finer and better tasting, and the donkey wouldn't eat it. And then he said, maybe the sa'orim is not mu'saros, there's no ma'aser taken from it. So they took ma'aser from it, and then the donkey was willing to eat it. So it was a pretty special donkey of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Okay, so we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem, Nodos Yayin V'Shemen, we'll pick up with tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have a live Daf Yomi Shir in the shul, Bez Hashem, on Shabbos, for those who sign up for one of the seats. And next week we'll do hybrid. Next week we'll do Dav Yomi in the shul, and we'll zoom it from the shul. I think that's the plan. So the zoom will continue, but it will be a different background. You won't see Rav Schechter. I'm not going to bring him with me. Okay, so that's going to be the plan.